myself. I have been discouraged before, and the faithfulness in giving has been one of the things that has just lifted me up. Hallelujah. Because people show their confidence in this ministry by supporting it down through these many, many years. I'm going to talk about the Lord's blessing. Isn't that incredible today? Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue that vein for a little while because God is dealing strongly with my heart about it. And his desire to bless his covenant people didn't stop when the old covenant was changed. I want you to know something about the new covenant. It is a better covenant established on better promises, for the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Everybody say it's better.
Better.
Amen. Now let me read you something that it's better than, so that you understand just how much better that it is. Because what I'm about to read you from Psalm 103, it would seem it don't get no better than that. Amen. We didn't even get a holy murmur out of that, but anyway, we'll work with you today. Amen. I guarantee you it's better. Now remember, the new one is better. Let me read you something from the old one that was available to covenant people, i.e., in effect, David himself in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all of his benefits. Amen. Who forgives all of thine iniquity, every sin can be forgiven. Amen. In the old covenant, there was forgiveness of sin, not changing the heart, but there was a remission. There was an atonement offered through sacrifices that you could be forgiven. David was forgiven. He said, "Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered." In Psalm 32, that means happy to be envied as a man who has had God's forgiveness. Amen. For his sin. Amen. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man. Amen. Blessed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquity, who heals all of thy diseases. Healing is not something that is a New Testament or Pentecostal concept. Healing is part and parcel of God's own nature. They called him Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament because he identified himself that way. Amen. To the covenant people, I will put none of the diseases on you that have come upon Egypt. I will bless your food and your drink because I am, and Sister Pamela said a hearty amen, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord thy physician. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God healed in the Old Testament. He was so renowned for healing that an Assyrian captain with leprosy had a Hebrew girl serving in his house, and he was hopeless and outcast and ostracized from his family. And she said, "My God is a healing God." Amen. And there is a prophet down in Israel that knows him personally. And if you go down and talk to him, I know my God, the God of the Hebrew people, the God of the covenant people, amen, is a healing God. Amen. He didn't do these things in a corner. Everyone knew that he was Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. And you know the rest of the story. Praise God. He wasn't even a covenant man, but he came to the covenant God and received from him. Praise God. Now it's children's bread that we receive. Who heals all thy diseases, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Who delivers thy soul from destruction. I mean, it just goes on and just keeps escalating the blessings of the Lord that were resting on David's life. Amen? It's the old covenant. That's the blood of bulls and goats. That's God blessing the covenant people of old. And when you transfer over into the new covenant, you don't do away with those blessings. You add to those blessings. Everybody say you add to those blessings. Don't ever walk away from anyone who tells you that the days of miracles are over. Or these special wonders were only for a sign in that day until we had the Bible. Don't ever walk away from anyone who tells you that. Run away. Can you say amen? Because you can't ask God to do these things that we need so desperately if those days are over. For those days to be over, God would have to close up shop and go out of business. And I'm going to tell you, God has a closed up shop. And God is not out of business. And I'm going to tell you something else. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we received through the blood of Jesus cannot be compared with anything David listed. It's beyond that. Because not only has your sin been forgiven, you've been brought into God's royal family and made a bona fide son and daughter of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you've been born from above, born again. The Old Testament couldn't change the heart, but the New Covenant did. And there's such a comparison. But the thing I want to get a hold of is, we seem to have left all of those blessings David talked about, and all we have now is the promise of heaven someday. You don't lose all of that when you come into the New Covenant. Abraham's seed still have a blessing on them. We're still qualified and categorized as Abraham's seed. The day you got saved, you were grafted into the true vine. Amen. And the blessings of faithful Abraham, the scripture said, have come where? Come on us. And that involves the Holy Spirit baptism and a whole lot of other things that goes beyond that. But the initial blessings are still there. What I want to let you know is God wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to use that as some self-exalting, self-seeking, self-aggrandizing, selfish attituded thing. He wants us to be blessed that we might be a blessing. If you're not receptive to God's blessing because of the doctrines that take it into tangents and take it to extremes, and there are gospels that just deal with the material and the physical out there. There are people preaching that is the supreme issue of our life down here. It is not. Righteousness exalts a nation. Not riches and wealth. Righteousness is why we are made wealthy to begin with as a nationally. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So listen to what the Bible says. I want to just read some scriptures around this that God just in his mighty wisdom placed around this scripture. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Listen to it very clearly. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing, not what it gives you initially, but the blessing itself, having God's favor. Everybody say, having God's favor. When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. This is about being right wise with God. This is about righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing, not the stuff that the blessing produces, but it, in and of itself, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Everybody say, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, the reason I know the blessing itself is what we need to be after is because the Bible said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy in the New Testament. But Jesus said, but I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And I want you to understand very clearly today that the abundant life can't be based on how much stuff you got. Amen? Because Jesus went on to say, a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Amen? How many know the spiritual life in Jesus Christ can't be compared to anything material or physical? And the Bible said that we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. But godliness, which is righteousness, with contentment is great gain. So having food, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God's commitment, his covenant commitment to you. And you have that, and you understand that. Having food and raiment and that commitment, therewith be content. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in, because he said, I'll never leave you, therewith to be content. I know how to abound. And believe me, you've got to have spiritual wisdom to be able to be blessed and not get selfish, self-serving, self-exalting. He said, but I also know how to be abased. Amen. And I have learned in whatever state I'm in, as long as I'm in the will of God and he's keeping his covenant to never leave me, I've learned therewith to be content. That's why when he faced martyrdom, he said, I'm ready. I'm content with that. I'm down with that. Everybody say, I'm down with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, those of you that look at me like some old fogey, some square, I'm going to tell you something today about the old fogey. Amen. I can look death in the eye and not be afraid. And honey, you may think you can't, but I've been in too many hospital rooms with people with all kinds of muscles looking death in the eye. And honey, there's a fear when death actually comes and comes close to you. I'm so glad, amen, that I'm one of those prisoners that was always kept and enslaved by the fear of death, that Jesus has come and set free. I live my life knowing that one day I'm going to die, but I know what death represents for me. For me and you as children of God, absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I drop dead like my neighbor did across the street, the only thing that's going to fall to the ground is the bone bag that holds my soul. Can you say amen? That's the only thing I'm going to leave behind. Say, Brother Bimbo, what do you think should be done with the body? You do whatever you want to with it. It's the body is going back to the dust eventually. If you wait long enough, that's where it's headed. Christians do not embalm. I mean, in the sense of the Egyptians. I don't want to be a mummy. I don't want to be like one man did his wife. They had her stuffed down in Argentina. Amen. He wanted to see her every day. Well, honey, I tell you, if the only way I want to stuff my wife is take her to Golden Corral. Can you say amen? I don't want my you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get up in the morning and look at her dear Lord in heaven. I mean, I love the woman, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This is one of these Ripley's believe it or not things, amen? I mean, how can you eat breakfast and turn over? Maybe she didn't look that good anyway. I don't know. The smell of death isn't on me today. Amen? It's appointed unto man once to die, but death for the Christian, Jesus wouldn't even use the term. Lazarus was dying. Amen. He finally died. The disciples came to him and he kept on preaching with word that Lazarus was dying. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, Lazarus is dying. And he said, okay, I'll be there. I'm coming. Don't worry about it. Preach right on. The disciples said, well, they finally come back and said, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. Disciples were concerned about Lazarus and the urgency, the sense of urgency. And they said, Jesus, how's Lazarus doing? He said, he's asleep. Hallelujah. He wouldn't use that finality of death. He said, he's asleep. The disciples running around with Jesus, you could get pretty tired. I mean, Jesus was about his father's business. And the disciples said, well, he's sleeping. He's doeth well. Can you say amen? We'd like to get a little sleep ourselves. Amen. If he sleepeth, he doeth well. And Jesus spoke to them plainly so they could understand their way of thinking and said, he's dead. If you want me to put it in your vernacular, he's dead. To you, he's dead. To me, there's no such thing as death for a believer. Can you say amen? He's asleep. If I'm asleep, I'm going to wake up. I can be woke up. Amen? But if I'm dead and done, that's it. But if I'm asleep, I can be woke up. Honey, on that great getting up morning they used to sing, fare thee well, there's going to come a great getting up morning. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are dead. No, believers aren't dead, concerning those that are asleep. And the only things that's asleep is your old bone bag in the ground. Amen, because absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's incredible. And then, of course, you know the story. He walks in. Amen. He rebukes death. He brings Lazarus, calls him by name, and Lazarus came forth. And he proved his power and victory over death. So, listen, in this covenant, amen, in this wonderful new covenant, we have blessings from the Lord that cannot even be compared with anything in the material and the physical world. The blessing, God's favor, God's acceptance through the blood of Jesus, the blessing maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But you can't take that and just make that a material and money thing, although it involves that. God blesses giving. It's clear. God blesses in the material, but he blesses way beyond that. Let me read some scriptures around this in chapter 11 and verse 4 of Proverbs. Since we're right here close to it, I just jotted this down this morning. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. When God comes to judge the earth, riches don't mean anything. But righteousness delivereth from death. Everybody say righteousness. Here's that word that keeps popping up. Amen. Let me read another one here in verse 19 in the chapter next to this great promise of blessing. As 19 through 21 of Proverbs 11. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Remember the scripture? There's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is destruction. It seems right, but it leads to death. But if you pursue righteousness, it brings life. They that are of a froward heart, a stubborn heart, are abomination to the Lord, a proud heart. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Everybody say his delight. His delight. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Can you say amen? Well, I love Psalm 91 because it's to the seed of the righteous. Amen. And there's all kinds of stuff going on out there, but we are the seed of the righteous. Can you say? We go all the way back to the man who achieved righteousness by faith, and that was Abraham, who believed God, and it was put to his credit. It was put to his account as righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we are the seed of the righteous. And even beyond Abraham, we are the seed of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And the seed of the righteous are going to be blessed. Psalm 91 talks about this wonderful blessing of having God as our provider and protector. The blessing maketh rich. And it's nothing that gold and silver can accomplish. Gold and silver couldn't insulate Michael Jackson from the inevitability of death. Amen. And I'm going to die someday, but I'm not going to die like the world dies. Amen. I'm not going to live this life that's just wrapped up in these few short years and the eventuality of it all ending. When I drop this body, my real life is just going to begin. And I don't want the devil to take me out before my time, but I want you to know I agree with D.L. Moody. He said one day you're going to read that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? I shall be far better off then than I am now. I shall move up higher. That is all. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11 verse 27 said, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." Verse 31, the last verse, says, "But behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth." That means before we even get to heaven, does it? That means in the nasty here and now, not just in the sweet by and by. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Much more the wicked and the sinner. Amen. Before we leave this world, God wants to bless you. Amen. Amen. I said, before we leave this world, God wants to bless you. And he wants to bless us to make us a blessing. I want to read the blessing in the Old Testament. It's called, the priest's blessing, the benediction. It's been called the Aaron's blessing because God told Moses and told Aaron to bless the people. And so you're really hearing from the heart of God here. This is not something man dreamed up. They're obeying God when they speak this blessing. Remember the man that was hired to curse Israel? But he was a true prophet, but he was compromising his prophetic ministry in order for personal gain. But when he tried, because someone paid him to curse Israel, only what would come out? Only blessing. I'm not concerned about some voodoo priestess with a little doll with a beard on it that when she puts a pin in its neck, that I'm going to go like that while I'm preaching. Amen. I'm not concerned about that. You see, I have a God living in me. And the Bible said that greater is He. And this is one of those tis or it ain't scriptures. Everybody say it, tis or it ain't. It's either absolutely true or it's absolutely false, because there's no in between. Jesus is either Lord of everything or He's not Lord of anything. Make no mistake about it. Can you say amen? That's why God calls you to a radical commitment to Jesus Christ. Jesus is either the triumphant Son of the living God or He's the biggest fraud that ever walked on planet Earth. And I'm telling you, He is who He said that He was. And the greater one lives in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And anyone who tries to curse you, only blessing will find you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot curse what God has blessed. Satan would have to triumph over Jesus, and he's already defeated at Calvary. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something else. If God puts His hand on this little church, if He wants this little church to grow like the radio ministry is growing, something's going to happen very quickly here. Hallelujah. We're going to have to lay a foundation over there to accommodate what God does. I believe God wants to do things far greater than anything we believe and anything we can dream. Hallelujah. Amen. Not to make us big, but to bring souls into the kingdom of God. To give us favor and to give us influence so we can reach others with the gospel. Hallelujah. He's a great God. Someone said attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. One preacher said, Lord, do something to touch others through my life that is far beyond my own ability. Amen. Far beyond anything that I am or that I can do. Do something that is totally, he said, disproportionate to who I am in and of myself. Isn't that something? God chooses the weak things of this world. God chooses the base things of this world. God chooses the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Praise God. Hallelujah. You cannot be too weak for God to use you. You can be too strong. Amen. And self-sufficient for God to use you. You can claim to be used. You can get out and crow like a rooster every Sunday. Amen. But it's not by might nor power. It's always by His Spirit. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? It's not your anointing. Listen, if you didn't abide in the vine, you'd wither up and die. Praise God. All the life in you is coming from Him. The anointing comes from Him. The life comes from Him. And when He does anything through you, He gets the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, oh, Brother Venable, God has given me great words to speak. Amen. Congratulations. Amen. You're right up there with the donkey that He anointed. Amen. I guess if God can talk through a donkey, He can talk through some of us. Amen. So congratulations, you've arrived. Amen. We got so many anointed people talking about how anointed they are instead of how great God is. Can you say amen? They want your faith in their anointing. God wants your faith in His faithfulness. Amen. He who is the anointing, who epitomizes the anointing. Amen. The only one who grants the anointing is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to hook you up to Jesus today. Amen. If the evangelist fails, He's faithful. If the evangelist leaves town, He stays and promises to never leave and never forsake. If the evangelist, amen, decides that he's going to close a meeting before you're able to be prayed for, Jesus is still available. You call on Him, you won't get an answering service. You will not get put on hold. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe miracles. I'm going to prophesy again. I feel a spirit of prophecy on me. I believe the miracles are not going to be contained in one or two anointed or three anointed servants or 10 or 12. I believe that anointing is going to come back when Christians gather together. There's where the body of Christ is in full representation. Large or small, we represent nothing less than the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head. We make up the body, and thank God everything's under His feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I believe the Jesus ministry is going to flow where Christians come together, just like it's happening in South Korea today. I believe that. And I believe we're going to hear it from church to church to church to church, and just plain old preachers are going to be talking about what's taking place in their congregation. Hallelujah. And everyday people and everyday churches are going to experience the fire of Holy Ghost revival as Jesus is exalted and our focus is placed squarely on Him. Hallelujah. Amen? He's here today. Plain fact of the matter, He's here today. He's here today. He doesn't just show up through mighty anointings. He's here today. The angels are here today. Amen? The angel of the Lord is here today. How do you know? They encamp about them that fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. Amen. That means they're here today. Amen. They're stuck with me. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Book of Hebrews said, and He will give His angels what? Charge over thee. To keep you in all of your ways. Hallelujah. They will bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot upon a stone. Can you say amen? Amen. The only reason the devil hasn't destroyed you is because God's covering is over you. His angels are encamped round about you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Psalm 90 is part of this great covenant blessing. Psalm 91 is part of this great covenant blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's such a powerful psalm. I got so much to read today, I can't read it all. But we need Psalm 91. And we need it now in the generation that we live. And we need it operational in the life of the covenant children of Almighty God. Can you say amen? Psalm 91 is so tremendous. I don't want to stop to read it all. But it talks about the plague not coming near your dwelling. It talks about 1,000 falling at your side and 10,000. That's why you never look at the statistics and include yourself. Can you say amen? Though 1,000 fall, because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under His wings thou art come to trust. There shall no evil befall thee. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Amen. Nor the terror that wasted in pestilence that wasted noonday. Nor the terror that walketh by night. Nor the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Though 1,000 fall at your right hand and 10,000 fall at your side, it shall not come nigh thee. The blessing of the Lord. You can't buy that if you're Bill Gates. It's the blessing that maketh rich. Oh, He takes care of our daily needs. Oh, yes, He'll give us a car to drive, food to eat, clothes for our back. But the blessing goes way beyond those things. Psalm 91 is part of the covenant blessing for the covenant people. That blessing makes you rich. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a plagues out there. There's pestilence out there. Can you say amen? They expect, I forget how many, New York City with this new strain of flu. It's out there. Amen. There's strains of infections that antibiotics can't address. There's all kinds of threats of death everywhere you turn, no matter what age you are. Amen. We live in a world that men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Can you say amen? But God's message to His people is fear not. Fear not. Fear not. One of the most used phrases in the New Testament out of the mouth of Jesus concerning the circumstances of the last day is fear not. In this world you'll have tribulation. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom, which is not meat and drink. It's not just the self-indulgent things the world goes after, but it's righteousness that qualifies you for the blessing. Therefore, it is peace, hallelujah, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 In a book filled with numbers, we find a beautiful gem of Scripture which has been called the Lord's Prayer in the Old Testament. I don't mean our Father's stuff. I'm talking about that Lord's Prayer in John 17 where He prayed God's blessing on the church. Listen to Numbers 6, 22 through 27. We'll probably have to continue this tonight. Unless, of course, you brought your lunch and your supper. I love the way this begins, because if you think just Aaron came up with this and some preacher just has this within their own capacity, God has to say it first. Nobody can bless anybody unless God says it first. Jesus said, I don't even speak a word if I don't hear my Father say it first. And I don't even do a work unless I see my Father do it first. Can you say amen? I want to be able to legitimately speak a blessing in this congregation. I want us to qualify for the blessing of the Lord, because the blessing of the Lord means that wherever you go, whatever you do, God will find a way of blessing you in spite of your circumstance. Just like he did with Joseph. I keep my covenant to 1,000 generations. You are not exempt. Be thankful and rejoice, therefore, that you qualify for my blessings in your life. Bow to me and to me alone, and I will keep thee in this evil hour. And not only will I keep thee, but I will bless thee in an extraordinary way, saith God, that the world may know that you are my children and that I am the true and the living God, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise in this room. Dwight Thompson was in an airliner. I don't know if you've ever been in an airliner in turbulence, but turbulence is when you get those drops sometimes and that thing feels like the wind is tossing it around. Don't feel as safe when it quits cruising along in turbulence. Dwight Thompson was in an airplane and he was reading his Bible, had some personal devotions. He came across a verse of scripture that just delighted him. He's an evangelist, Dwight Thompson. He said, it just delighted me. And he said, Lord, I just praise you. I just thank you for this. See, I could just leaped off the page. You know, he's on his way to an evangelistic meeting, and he said, Lord, this is just coming alive. And he just got excited there in the seat, forgot where he was, and he mumbled just very to himself, you know, spoke in other tongues on an airplane. Can you imagine that? Curse on an airplane, nobody raises an eyebrow, but speak in other tongues and you get the whole place looking at you. Amen. Guy behind him shook the seat. And he looked around. That guy said, Dwight said, this guy put his head all around that seat from behind him and said, are you one of them tongue-talking preachers? And he said, well, I guess I am. Just did, you know. That's pretty much a rhetorical question, isn't it? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I didn't know I was going to get on a plane with one of them. Sat back in his seat with a big huff. And Dwight thought, boy, the devil really upset because of anything spiritual or righteous. You know, this guy's back there ordering his drinks and just, you know, he just don't want to be around anything like that. And he said, we went along fine for the next 15 minutes. But he said, after a while, a little light came on, a little ding. The captain came on and said, we are headed for turbulence. Everybody buckle your seatbelt. So people have been through turbulence before, do a lot of flying. They buckle up, they sip their drink. They go through a little bumpy ride, but everything is well. But they went through some bad stuff. And it got worse and it got worse until they could see the stewardess who straps in facing them on a little chair before going into the galley and then the captain. And she was sitting there and said she just began to look concerned. And when the stewardess, who's paid to keep everybody calm, starts rolling her eyes, you know, amen, then you know that you got some trouble. And when you feel that old thing drop and then go on a little bit and then drop again and your stomach coming up in your throat, and it got really bad. And the pilot says, we hope we'll be through this soon. Please stay buckled up. He goes off to manage the plane. The stewardess is buckled in, and it's shaking like this, and it shakes like that. And Dwight said that man behind him, he said, preacher, shook that seat again. he said, preacher, he said, pray. And Dwight said, and they were shaking all over the place. Dwight said, Father, we just ask that you keep us through this storm or whatever we're going through and keep this plane and everybody on it. And it was getting worse. The guy shook his seat again. And he said, Pray in that other language. Because whatever his background was, somebody had told him, when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he's not speaking to men. He's speaking to God. And he said, listen, this is serious. Amen. Don't just pray one of these prayers to comfort us. Talk to him. Can you say amen? We're not comforted unless he does something about this. Hallelujah. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's the blessing of the new covenant. That's the blessing of having a heavenly Father that you have access to. Can you say amen? The blessing of the Lord. The mighty Holy Ghost infilling. The blessing of the Lord. Salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, the blessing of the Lord, and total access to the throne of God in prayer, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, in this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying, who spoke to Aaron to speak this blessing? And the Lord spoke unto Moses to tell Aaron. Everybody say, the Lord spoke unto Moses to tell Aaron to speak the blessing. Amen. When they were right with him, he wanted to bless them. Everybody say, when they were right with him, he wanted to bless them. Say it again, when they were right with him, he wanted to bless them. Praise God. That's why I preach repentance with such a positive attitude. Amen. It's not, oh, getting right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Being able for him to put righteousness to your account. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Being right with God so that he can bless us and distinguish us as covenant people because of the blessing. You could not defeat Israel as long as they were under his blessing. All victory is linked to his favor or not. So the enemies that stand up against us are not the issue. It's whether or not God can legitimately bless us. If you're here today and you're not right with God, he wants you to get right with him. He doesn't want to pull. He wants to bless you. He simply wants to bless you. Amen. You know what he said, and his desire to bless is so evident nationally and personally. Isaiah chapter 1, 18 and 19, come. This is to a sinful, rebellious, disobedient people that are headed for nothing but destruction. Come, let us reason together, saith God. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Red like crimson, they shall be white as the driven snow. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I'll bless your socks off. Everybody say, I'll bless your socks. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword. Hallelujah. Over and over, he said, I put two ways before you, blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose blessing, choose life, that you may live. For why would you die, O house of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. God don't want to judge you. He has to, because he's a holy and righteous God. He wants to forgive you so that he can bless you. And the blessing of the Lord, just having that favor with God, maketh rich. I'm in a room with rich people today. I don't care what you drove up in, what kind of shoes you're wearing, amen, what kind of watch you've got on. I'm in a room with wealthy people today. Amen. If you're a Christian, amen, you have his promise to never leave you, never forsake you, to go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's noted in verse 6, number 6, 22 through 27, it is the blessing of the Lord with which Aaron and his sons were to bless the children of Israel. Aaron and his sons made up the priesthood for Israel. Therefore, this passage has often been called the priestly blessing or the Aaronic, I guess you would call it benediction. It's more than a benediction. What's being revealed here is the heart of God to bless his people. He said, this is not Aaron's idea. This is not Moses' idea. This is what I want. I'm telling Moses to send Aaron as a priest to bless the covenant people. And this is the blessing I want upon them. The Lord bless and keep you. Let me hurry with this. The word bless here means to confer well-being or prosperity. I wish above all things that you be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. It's real important to get that in, because that is the primary area that God wants to bless you and me. To be spiritually mature enough that we understand what real riches are. Amen. Having food and raiment, and you have Christ, if you're content with that, you're richer than the man who has that stuff and is discontent. Amen. Amen. Listen carefully. In this passage, I do believe we learn things about the Lord which are just as true today. Even though we do not live under the old covenant with its priesthood, we have a high priest who desires to bless us just as richly and more so. How many know we live in a priesthood still exists, but it's a single priest now? Jesus. We have a high priest that has passed into the heavens. Praise God. He's able to save to the uttermost because he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, according to the New Testament. Everybody say, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28:1. The word blessed means to confer well-being, prosperity. And listen to what happens when we get an obedient heart, where we can be right with God. We start being a doer, not just a hearer of the word. Listen to Deuteronomy. I'm just going to read the first six verses. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. There was a time when America had that distinction, because America had that blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. And all these blessings, honey, we didn't owe nobody nothing. We were the head and not the tail. We were the lender and not the borrower. Because God's legitimate blessing rested upon a nation that acknowledged him in all of our ways. Can you say amen? Amen. You can't teach American history without teaching something about the Christian faith, because it shaped American history. All of the words written by the great founders of this country are framed within "In God We Trust." All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed thou shalt be in the city, blessed thou shalt be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed thou shalt be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. The Lord bless you. Everybody say, the Lord bless you. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The word keep here, the Lord bless you and keep you, means to provide and care, to guard, to protect. A beautiful psalm that speaks of God's care is Psalm 121, verse 1 through 8, before we close. Like a shepherd guarding and providing his sheep, the benediction calls for God to keep watch over Israel, his covenant people. Listen to Psalm 121. It just says it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. This is a continuing covenant. Everybody say, this is a continuing covenant. These dangerous days, it's so comforting to know that God is keeping us safe and secure through Jesus Christ. Amen. Then it said, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I love this part of it. You got 5 or 6 more minutes? Listen to this. Listen. To make his face to shine, Bible scholars say maybe an idiom, indicating God's smile of favor on his people, evidenced by his being gracious, according to one scholar. Note how it's used elsewhere in Psalm 31:16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. You see, deliverance is linked to being right with God. I love him. Who was it? Oh, a great singer from old. You may know his name. Oh, he sung so many beautiful songs. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's so good to me. Do you know who sung that? Trivia message. Yeah, he's a black singer. He can sing, praise God. And he sings it with feeling. Hallelujah. God has smiled on me. Amen. You know what that means? That's not just some little thing. It means that you are right with God. When a man's ways please the Lord, can you say, man, righteousness is something that causes him to make his face to shine toward us. Amen. To lift his countenance upon us. Can you say, man, when God is pleased with us. Amen. Listen, when we repent of our sins, God is pleased. When we forgive our brethren, God is pleased. When we love one another, God is pleased. When we obey his word, God is pleased. Can you say, man? And when God is pleased, he smiles upon his children. When he smiles upon his people, he delivers us. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be right with God. When we praise him from our heart, God is pleased. It's a sweet smelling savor unto him. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and save me for thy mercy's sake. In other words, if I please you, I know I can count on you to deliver me. Psalm 80 and verse 3, turn us again, O God. Bring us back. Turn us, O God, and cause thy face to shine. And we shall be saved. God will deliver Israel again. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes their message is designed to turn us from our way to his way. It's not comfortable being in a service like that. God wants to deliver you in the day of trouble. God wants to protect and provide for you. He wants to turn, make his face to shine upon you. There's nothing negative about calling people to turn away from sin and turn toward the Lord. Can you say amen? So this, the psalmist cries out, turn us, O God. Turn us from our way back to your way. So that what? So then cause your face to shine. Because that acceptance with God over Israel, amen, and what's going to happen, we'll be saved. No matter what our trouble, God will come through. There's more to your prayer life than claiming promises and standing in faith. There's being right with God, hallelujah. Amen. Somebody give him praise in this room. You've got to get that today. Too many people are leaving that out. Just send in the seed, send in the money, and God will come through. This is not just about money. This is about bowing to him and him alone and following him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The supreme issue is your heart. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's clear. Hallelujah. So that God's blessing can be apparent upon your life and mine. So he can bless us to be a blessing. Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. There are things we can do to cause God to have to withdraw his presence, and it brings desolation. But there's things we can do in repentance to bring his smile back upon this place. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The call to repentance is one of the most positive messages for the church in America that I know of. Amen. We need to repent of our sins of omission and commission. We need to come back to God so God can come back to us. Turn us, O God, that we might see your deliverance again. Turn us, O God, that we might see your blessing personally and nationally. Can you say amen? Turn us, O God. Hallelujah. God's blessing turns everything around. God's blessing delivers from every circumstance. God's blessing protects from the enemy. God's blessing provides sufficient grace, abundant strength, absolute victory, and awesome power. Isaiah 59:19 said, and this is under that blessing of the Lord, so they that fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy, they that reverence God like this, listen, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, amen, God is going to stand up in their behalf. Can you say amen? I said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, amen, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! The issue isn't what your enemy is trying to do, it's whether or not you're right with God. If God be for us, say that again, if God be for us, hallelujah! Oh, let's get right with God and get that blessing back and get that victory back. Martin Luther used to sing this song, I love it, in moving toward a closing. A mighty fortress, and it's based on this blessing. It's based on this promised blessing. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name, from age to age to the same. He must win the battle. Can you say amen? And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Everybody say, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. It's the only little word that Satan absolutely cowers before. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 That word above all earthly powers, the next verse says. No thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but His truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord be gracious unto you means to restore favor, bestow favor, especially with which is unmerited. The parallelism of this benediction suggests this favor refers to the blessing and keeping by the Lord mentioned previously, perhaps emphasizing that such blessings are unmerited even though conditional. You don't deserve the blessing, but there are conditions. That's what people don't understand. Amen? The blessing is given by grace. But there are conditions. You got to believe on Jesus. Amen. Repent of your sins to be saved. Amen. Amen. There's a condition. The blessing is promised, procured, but it's obtained through obedience to His word and obedience by faith. Amen. This is where the teaching gets off into you got it, you don't have to think about it. And that's just not what the Scripture's telling us, old or new covenant. God couldn't legitimately bless them when they went a-whoring from Him and they followed the false gods. There's no way God could bless them. No way God could keep them. This grace is not to cover our sin. It's to cancel our sin. The Lord be gracious unto you and lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. To lift up His countenance may be similar to smile, Believer Study Bible says. As such, it suggests pleasure and affection, according to one scholar. Another scholar, Ryrie, says also approval and recognition. The word peace is not just the absence of war either, but a positive state of rightness and fullness of well-being. For the nation of Israel, God promised peace if they were faithful. Leviticus 26:6 says, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Remember David? He'll make me to lay down in green pasture, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. I'll prepare your table in the presence of your enemies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There was also peace for the individual that trusted God, not just nationally, but personally. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Last night on CNN, in closing, someone real close to Michael Jackson was being interviewed, who recently asked him, Michael, are you happy? Here's what he replied. Yes, I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not satisfied, you can't be happy. Amen? That would be saying, Brother Venable, are you happy with Sister Venable? I'm saying, yeah, I'm happy. I'm not satisfied. If she heard that, you think she would take that as a compliment? I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied. You can see Michael was a poor man. Billions of dollars, spiritually impoverished. He wasn't satisfied with billions of dollars. He kept spending trying to find satisfaction. He was the epitome of the Rolling Stones song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Can you say amen? You know what Jimi Hendrix wrote? That was my era. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't somebody rescue me? I don't live today. Maybe tomorrow. I just can't say. And that's who we put up as the great leaders of a new movement of guitar artists. Honey, that was an impoverished man who died on his own vomit. Can you say amen? Amen. And while the world wants to follow people that are dissatisfied in life and ever getting and never having enough, instead of the one who says, amen, my body is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. If you eat of my body, if you participate in all I've done for you at the cross, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The church needs to be representative of that blessing that makes so rich. Can you say amen? So the world out there can see there's something better than what sin offers and what the world offers. I looked up happy in Webster's dictionary. Merriam-Webster said enjoying or characterized by well-being and contentment. That means you can't be happy and be discontent. You can't be happy and not be satisfied. Someone asked, how could Michael Jackson make so much money and be $500 million in debt? $500 million in debt. Obligated to take this 20-stop tour in London to try to raise money. $20 million in debt. And they said because of his extravagant spending. What? Art. Stuff. Just stuff. Just a constant grasp for more stuff. But not satisfied. Boy, if you give me $1 million, it's enough. Pamela says she'll watch her budget and make it last. Do you think you could possibly have enough? There are evangelists that can't have enough. They bring a reproach on their own ministry because they keep building these palaces while talking about the soon coming of Jesus. These shrines to our own success. We need a nice home. We need a nice ride. We need clothes on our back and food in our belly. And somebody needs to have enough money to pay Tico. They will pull your meter. Can you say amen? But having that, what really makes you rich is when you can have Jesus and be happy and be content. Amen? The Bible said to live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. Amen. That doesn't mean just live joyfully while you're both young and then start growing apart when you get older. Said the woman you married when you were young and you had such a joyous relationship with, live joyfully with that woman through your whole married life. That woman is the wife of my youth. We've been married 46 years, but she's the woman I married when she was 14 and I was 16. I didn't rob the cradle, brother. I jumped in it with her. I was young myself. 46 years. I'm happy. Three Stooges were doing a census. That's not the three wise men. These were three wise guys. Amen. They were taking a census in one of their stories, and they were going up and asking how many people live in this home, and they want to know if you're married, you're single, and how many people are in the home to do the. Remember when they came around and took census years ago? Find out how many of us were out there to pay taxes and vote and whatever. Anyway, they went up and knocked on a door, and a man came to the door, and I don't know which one of the Stooges said to him, are you married or are you happy? Thinking it might be impossible to be both. But God has a plan under His blessing. I'll tell you, we got married at 14 and 16, and going on 21, I received Jesus as my Savior. Just before me, my wife received Jesus as her Savior. Amen. He took a marriage that had all the ingredients to fall apart, and I believe would have fallen apart. We married so young, we felt like we were deprived and we were missing something out there, and out there kept calling us. Can you say amen? But I'm telling you, when we found Jesus, amen, we drank from that living water. We fell in love with Him and really in love with each other. Praise God. He took a marriage that had all the ingredients for failure. People raised their eyebrows to know that we made it, amen, and are making it. And then ministry come along, and ministry puts its unique pressures on a marriage. And of course, the devil would love to tear us up. But I'm telling you something, I'm living joyfully with the wife of my youth. Praise God. If I could go back and do it again, I'd go back and do it again. However, I would wait till I was 17. Hallelujah. So I could get a better job. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has been good to your preacher down through these years. Something in my life that the devil could not take away from me is the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it. Praise God. Amen. Can't be truly happy and not be satisfied. The blessing of the Lord maketh truly rich, brings true peace and contentment. That God would have Aaron and his sons bless the children of Israel with this benediction in a case that God really wanted to bless and provide for them. Hallelujah. In the new covenant, Jesus is the high priest, interceding before the Father, procuring and pronouncing the blessing upon the covenant children. You are the blessed of the Lord. That's why Paul said in Ephesians, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He still forgives iniquity, still heals diseases, still satisfies the deepest longings of our soul, our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I see young people look depressed and tired. Amen. And here I am, an old guy. Amen. Hallelujah. So excited and enthused and full of life this morning. I see kids in the mall with $50 in their pocket on their way to the movie. And they look like they've been sucking on a persimmon. I want to walk up and say, what is your problem? Can you say, man, I never had 10% of what you've got. My Lord, I had to sell bottles to get gasoline to take Pamela to the drive-in. That's back in the day of deposit bottles. I used to get a dollar's worth of gas. And when they came out and gave you a full service on your car, I'd go in and give me a dollar's worth. Gas station guy, cheapest gas I could find, he'd come out and he'd say, where are you going, Miami? I said, no, I'm not going to Miami. I'm going to the show. He said, all right. He checked my tires, checked my oil, put water in my radiator, and wiped my windows off because I got a dollar's worth of gas, full service. Amen. Because I was taking Pamela out. Put on your red dress, baby. We're going out tonight. We're going to the Silver Moon. Funland, yeah. One time we didn't have enough money right after I got married to even get in the show, and I didn't have no bottles to sell. So my best friend at school, Pamela and her, drove the car, put us in the trunk. We're back there laying in the truck. It was pretty obvious because there wasn't room for us in that little truck and the big old spare tire. They didn't have them little old, it was a full tire. We had to put the tire in the back seat. And when you go through there to pay your ticket and they look in the back seat and see your spare tire, you can believe somebody's in the trunk. Didn't you say it? Hallelujah. But they were gracious. I guess they figured these poor old married people ain't got nothing money to go to show. We'll just let them on in. Pull way over in the dark on the far side of the theater. Open that trunk and here we come piling out. Wow. That's right. We had the money and they didn't, so only two people could get in. That's why we were in the trunk. Hallelujah. But God was good. Big time criminals. Oh, I'm a gangster. You didn't know your pastor was a gangster, did you? Sneaking into movies in the trunk. What a bad man. Oh, no, that's not what God saved me from. It was a whole lot of other stuff. You say, Brother Venable, what was it? None of your beeswax. But God's been good to me. And I love him today. Praise God. Brother, would you come? We're going to close. One thing I want to clarify here, real quickly. God wants to distinguish us, mark us with his blessings. He distinguished Israel from every nation. You are, according to the New Testament, a peculiar people. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, that we might show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into what? Into this humdrum old dull church life. It's Sunday, I gotta go to church. They'll think I backslid if I don't show up. Somebody call me up. I don't want to go through that. I better get on down there and make a showing. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Preach on, preach. That's baloney. No, that's phony stuff. We're the blessed children of the Most High God. I represent a mighty king here this morning. Praise God. God's been good to your little preacher. Hallelujah. He's been good to this little church down through the years. Sustained us. The blessing of the Lord's still upon us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're blessed to be a blessing. And I believe it's coming. Showers of blessing. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. Amen. You've been through something recently. The devil has saw it coming. And he wants to get you discouraged. Amen. Wants you to look back, turn back, go back if he can. God wants you to go forward. Praise God. Expect great things from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do something, God. I want to agree with that preacher. Do something, glory. Do something to further your kingdom, to exalt your name that is totally disproportionate to who I am. Praise God. Do something so mighty, so wonderful, and so great that when it happens, everybody knows it's God and not me. But Lord, do something like that. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody stand up and give him praise today. If you don't know the Lord, you're welcome to come this morning. No big deal made out of it. The Spirit is drawing you. It's going to happen. If the Spirit isn't drawing you, I can do nothing for you. Hallelujah. But if God is calling you, you'd be crazy. Amen. To resist or reject a call, to have your life turned around, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the covenant blessings of God to rest upon you upon this earth. If you're coming back to God, you're welcome to come because he is here today. Praise God. Let something play, brother, whatever you choose, but we're going to do business with the mighty King today. Hallelujah. What do you need him to do today? You're coming back. You're coming back. He's coming home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn us. Turn us, oh God. Turn us that we might see your deliverance in our life again. Hallelujah. God did it for David. God did it for Saul of Tarsus. Hallelujah. God will do it again. Praise the Lord. Stretch your hand this way. Amen. Heavenly Father, this man has repented in his heart. This man has already cried out publicly that he wants to come back to the Father's house. This man doesn't want to be the prodigal son. He wants to be the one that is safe and secure. Father, he's coming back for restoration. He's coming back, Lord, that you will restore unto him the years that the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and and the locusts have eaten away from his life. Father, I pray right now that as you did it for David, you would do it for this man today. Restore his soul. Restore the blessing. Restore the good favor of the Lord upon him. Restore the angels about him. Restore the covering of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Take away the guilt and fear and give him the joy of your salvation again. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, fill him with your mighty Holy Spirit that there's no room for the enemy in his life. In Jesus' holy name. Father, we praise you today. We thank you for him and for his life laid before you, Father. We shore him up in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody give God a praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, my sins are gone. Whichever you choose. But God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. 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 Turn us, Lord. Turn us, Lord. The goodness of God leadeth men and women to repentance. Praise the Lord. Let's just rejoice in him for a holy moment.